This episode of the Ageless and Awesome podcast is sponsored by the Radiant Reset Hormone Detox Guide for Perimenopausal Women. As a woman in the modern world, our hormones are taking a battering. They're impacted by the food we eat, the toxins we're exposed to, such as when we eat out of plastic takeaway containers, or even worse, reheat food in them. Please don't do this. If you're handling FPOS receipts, filling the car with fuel, eating non-organic produce that hasn't been washed effectively, plus so much more things add to our toxic load every day. Even though our bodies are designed to effectively manage toxins, they haven't evolved as quickly as our toxic world has, unfortunately. So our body does need support. Symptoms such as stubborn weight gain, fatigue, disrupted periods, irritability, and gut health issues can be a sign that you'd benefit from a gentle detox. And that's why I developed the Radiant Reset Hormone Detox Guide for Perimenopausal Women. This free guide has an abundance of information to get you started on your very own DIY detox. And if you'd like to upgrade to VIP, it's only $47 for a limited time. I used to sell this program for $247. The upgrade gives you the recipes, including plenty of plant-based options, the meal planner, the shopping list template, the video workshop, and so much more. Click the link in the show notes to learn more now. Take care of your hormones. They are a critical part of your health as a woman. Hi, I'm Susie Garden, and this is the Ageless and Awesome podcast. I'm an age-defying naturopath and clinical nutritionist, and I'm here to bust myths around women's health and aging so that you can be ageless and awesome in your 40s, 50s, and beyond. The Ageless and Awesome podcast is dedicated to helping women through perimenopause and menopause with great health, a positive mindset, and outrageous confidence. Hit subscribe or follow now, and let's get started. Hello, gorgeous one, and welcome to this week's episode of the Ageless and Awesome podcast. And this week, this is a bit of a hot off the press episode of the podcast. I've had a number of questions this week about intermittent fasting and heart disease because there was an abstract, and I'll get into what that means, presented at the American College of Cardiology meeting last Monday. And it's kind of stirred up quite a lot of questions, and particularly in the topic of intermittent fasting and whether or not it is safe for people with heart disease. Now, I must stress this is an abstract only that was presented. And what that means, it's like a bit of a summary of the study. So we don't have access yet to the data, the hard data, to actually really analyze it. So if you're not familiar, the way research works in the medical kind of realm or the health realm is that the study gets done and then gets submitted to a journal for publication. And part of that process requires what we call peer review. And that's where there's a bunch of pretty smart people generally in that profession, whether it's cardiology or other types of medicine, and they will have a look at that hard data before it is published and make comment and make potentially ask for more information. They'll pick up on mistakes, errors, whether they're typos or otherwise. And it's through that process of peer review that it maintains an integrity of the data that gets published. And you may have heard that there are certain journals that are considered more high level than others. And that's, I guess, part of that is the rigorous nature of their peer review process. That is part of it. And American Heart Association does have a pretty good reputation. As I'm saying, the abstract is available online to have a look at, but not the rest of the data. So it has not yet been peer reviewed. So you do need to keep that in mind with any of this information that I'm saying today. It is purely from the abstract. And normally I don't like referencing information just from the abstract because you can't really get a good hold of all of the data, but it's just not available yet. And because I've had a number of questions, some DMs coming through, and some of the clients I've been talking to about it, so I just thought I'd do a podcast on it. This is, you know, fairly top line. But essentially what happened is these researchers decided to do a study looking at intermittent fasting, because there's really not a lot of data on it in terms of cardiac outcomes, nothing more than 1 year. And 1 year isn't really a long time when we're looking at chronic disease like cardiovascular disease. So these researchers looked at a large database and looked at 20,000 people in this database looking at eating. And they looked at different periods of intermittent fasting. So the classic 16-8, they also looked at the 14-10, they looked at between 10 and 12 hours of an eating window, they looked at 12 to 16. So these are all groups that they compared. So 12 to 16 hours of eating was considered the reference group. So it's probably more reflective of the general population, right? And they also looked at more than 16 hours, as people are basically eating for the entire time that they're awake. And this was looking at the United States population. It was 50% men, 50% women. So that's really great that women were really well represented. The majority of the people were Caucasian. So with 73.3% were non-Hispanic Caucasian. So that's always good to know, like, who are these people that are in this study? And these people were, the follow-up period was 8 years. And during this time, what they noticed was that compared with the eating duration of 12 to 16 hours, so that was the reference window that's more reflective of most of the population. So compared with that window, an eating duration of 18 hours, so the 16-8, was significantly associated with an increased risk of cardiovascular death, essentially. And that association was also observed in adults with cardiovascular disease and also adults with cancer. But the other eating durations didn't show that. They were not associated with cardiovascular mortality, except there was one of the eating windows, which was the 8 to 10 hours in people that already had cardiovascular disease. But, you know, no significant associations were found between eating duration and all-cause or cancer mortality in the overall kind of sample. You can tell I'm reading this straight out of the abstract. The eating duration of more than 16 hours was actually associated with a lower risk of cancer mortality in people with cancer. So eating sort of all during the day was actually more positive for people with cancer. And so this was a really surprising finding, because actually the hypothesis that the researchers were testing were that this time-restricted eating was associated with a reduced risk of all-cause and cause-specific mortality. So the fact that they actually showed that that 16-8 window was significantly associated with a higher risk of cardiovascular death in the general population, as well as in people with cardiovascular disease or cancer, meant that the findings didn't support long-term use of the 16-8 way of eating for preventing cardiovascular death. So that's kind of blown up in the media. I don't know if you do subscribe to any of the health kind of websites or journals or whatever, you probably have seen some of this reported in the media. It's been really widely reported because the intermittent fasting, I guess, is just so popular. And that made me just have a look at a few other things, because a lot of people that are doing intermittent fasting are doing it for different reasons. And there's certainly some pretty good data in the longevity space. For a lot of people that have like gut issues, sometimes doing a bit of fasting can be very helpful to give the gut a break from food. We know that that can be helpful. In terms of weight loss, there's been a number of studies looking at weight loss. And generally speaking, it's not really giving significant weight loss. The studies that I looked at, they said there maybe was like, I'm just getting one up now while I'm talking to you guys. I think there's one that shows there was about a 1 point something percent, so less than 2% weight loss. But there really was not a lot of difference between people doing the fasting, the intermittent fasting, and people that were just eating without that time restriction. And the other, there's been quite a few criticisms of the abstract that's been presented because there hasn't really been a focus on the quality of the food that people were eating. And I think that is one of the downfalls, I guess, generally speaking, of the studies with intermittent fasting is they don't tend to focus on the quality of the food. And when I'm talking about the quality, I'm talking about, is it mainly whole foods? Are people just eating whatever they like? Are they eating predominantly junk food? There's often not a lot of data presented about what people are actually eating. The focus tends to be on the number of hours that people are eating. And I've got to admit, when I first looked into intermittent fasting, like when it was first kind of coming out as a popular way of eating, I remember reading a number of articles that talked about the fact that during your eating window, you could pretty much eat whatever you wanted and you didn't need to look at calories. And those of you that have followed me for a while know that I'm not a believer in calorie counting either. But also that there wasn't a lot of focus on the quality of the food. And that's, I think, what made intermittent fasting pretty popular is that many people have been told you can eat whatever you like in that 8-hour window, as long as you're not eating outside of that 8-hour window. So there definitely, essentially, needs to be more data. But there has been, I guess, some discussion in the media that I've been reading that says if you do actually have cardiovascular disease, and that can be high cholesterol, a family history of heart attacks, strokes, things like that, that maybe you should reconsider doing intermittent fasting. Maybe you should have a chat to your doctor, your healthcare provider about whether or not it's suitable for you. You always have to keep in mind this is one study, and generally speaking, we don't necessarily draw huge conclusions from just one study, and we don't have all of the information that was used to get these results. So you can't say for sure that this is a problem. However, if you do have cardiovascular disease, it might be something to really consider. I mean, this is one of the reasons why I really, really believe in personalized nutrition, because then I know that my clients are getting the nutrients that they need and that are going to be best for their body to reduce risk of chronic disease, to reduce pain, to increase energy, to improve gut health, all of the things, right? So that is something to more consider. And there's some really good data looking at just fasting for 5 to 6 hours between meals and having breakfast, having lunch, having dinner. So yeah, I just thought that was really interesting. I love doing stuff that's kind of new and a little bit edgy. If you've got any questions, please reach out to me. I'm going to still do a little bit more trolling around the internet, seeing what I can find in terms of other commentary from educated people on this. But I think you're going to continue to see information in the media about this. So what I would encourage you to do is not to get too caught up in it, because as I said, this is a surprising finding. This is just one study and we don't have all of the information yet. And when this does get eventually, hopefully, published, if the data is actually good enough to get published, then I'll do a follow-up podcast looking at it, because I think this is really fascinating. So I hope that's been helpful for you. And yeah, please let me know. Leave me a review or send me an email or a message on Instagram at Susie Garden Wellness. I would love to hear from you. Have an awesome week. I'll be back on Thursday with Q&A. Thanks so much for joining me today on the Ageless and Awesome podcast. If you like today's episode, make sure you click the little plus button if you're on Apple Podcasts, or the follow button if you're on Spotify, so that you get each new episode delivered to you every single week. If you like free stuff, then head to the show notes and click the link to receive my free Radiant Reset Hormone Detox Guide for perimenopausal women. Or if you'd like to continue the discussion, head over to Instagram and DM me at Susie Garden Wellness. I'd love to connect with you.